Hey, how's everybody doing? Welcome back to another episode of Stronger Together. We are once again in Shed Studios in Tacoma, downtown Tacoma. The studio space has been provided to us by Wyatt, a good friend of the program, and we're so blessed to have use of this space. Wyatt, we appreciate you. Today in studio, we have a lot of special guests with us, and they are from Pause for Purple Hearts. I will allow them all to introduce themselves. So whoever wants to go first.
I'll kick it off. My name is Sonia. I'm the Marketing and Communication Specialist with Pause for Purple Hearts in Washington.
I'm Cassidy. I'm the Senior Program Instructor.
I'm Yayoi. I'm Program Instructor.
And?
And this is Mark. He's a service dog in training. He's a pure Rottweiler retriever. Sorry.
And he's 1.5 year old.
That is so awesome. So cool. Just a great dog in setting up. I've been watching him, and well, my dogs would not just lay there like that. So you guys have done a great job with him. So in starting here, you guys want to tell me a little bit about Pause for Purple Hearts and what it is, what your guys' mission statement is, and what got you, what you all involved in this?
Yeah, so I actually have our mission statement printed off because I didn't want to mince words. So our mission statement is Pause for Purple Hearts improves the lives of America's warriors, veterans, and active duty service members facing mobility challenges and trauma-related conditions such as post-traumatic stress disorder and traumatic brain injury by providing the highest quality assistance dog and canine-assisted therapeutic programs, and by building public awareness of the dog's important role dogs can play in helping warriors along the road to recovery. So to elaborate a little bit on that, we train and raise service dogs for veterans with service-related disabilities. They don't have to have a Purple Heart. That's just the name. We're currently training 5 dogs right now, soon to get a 6th one, but a normal day in our dog's life would look like going to canine-assisted warrior therapy, which is an 8-week-long course where we bring our dogs into active duty, veteran, or transitioning between the two service members. They get an insight and a look into what it takes to train a service dog, while also understanding that they're benefiting one of their brothers and sisters in arms because somebody eventually will receive Mark. When Mark isn't doing CAWTs, he can also be found doing things like social therapy at the Ording Soldiers Home in Washington, or going on field trips out and about. You'll catch us walking around Target or the mall quite frequently.
So Mark has quite the job then. He's out there working every day. That is awesome. What does it take to train a dog like this? I mean, how much time and energy is involved in this?
It takes about 2 to 3 years. We have an in-house breeding program, as well as we're part of a breeding co-op that we get some of our dogs from through Assistance Dogs International. So we start these guys pretty young. We, as trainers, get them around 8 weeks, and then we place them between 2 and 3 years, depending on the time frame and the dog's ability and maturity level.
When somebody is interested in getting a dog from you guys, what is there an application process, waiting list, all that kind of stuff? I mean, what does it take to have you guys train a dog and get it placed with a veteran or someone that needs them?
So for our clients, we require a few things. They need to have a service-related disability. So that could be TBI, PTSD, mobility issues. It needs to be documented. And from there, they can start the application process on our website. Our applications right now are actually closed. There are a lot of veterans in need, as we all know, and not a lot of dogs. It takes 2 to 3 years to train a service dog, so it's a very small industry. But once they're on that waiting list, once we have a dog that would match them and what they need, they would go through client training, which is where they learn kind of how to use their dogs, and they bond with the dog, and they're taught all the different commands that their dogs can do. And then from there, they get yearly check-ins with a trainer in their region to make sure their dog is still maintaining the same standards and isn't slowing down or needs maybe some additional reinforcement.
You send, when you match the dog and the veteran, what's that process entail?
I'll defer to you for that one. For the matching process, we look at a couple different things. We look at the dog and their capabilities. So what tasks the dog can do, what tasks the dog enjoys doing, kind of what they excel at, the environment the dog is going to. So whether it be a hot climate, cold climate, things like that, the lifestyle of the applicant. If we have a super laid back dog that is not very active, we don't want to put them with a veteran that goes running 6 miles a day and wants to take their dog running with him, right? So we look at both tasks as well as the lifestyle to make sure that the lifestyle is going to be compatible as well. We have a social styles assessment that we have our clients do, and we use that to help answer some of those questions and find a good match as well.
And so in all this, once you match the client with the dog, are they involved in the training process? Are they coming in and bonding with the dog through the process? Or
not while the dog is being trained. That's what that 2 week client training's for. So they go to that 2 week client training. Sometimes we have an exact dog in mind. Sometimes we try a couple different dogs with the client. And then once we find that perfect match, then as Sonia mentioned, we take the time to show them how to utilize the dog, how to utilize the tasks that the dog has, and then when good times to utilize that task might be.
And in tasks, what kinds of things can these dogs do?
They do a variety of different things. They do anxiety disruption. So they have a command called a visit where they rest their head on your lap. They have a lap command where they put their paws on your lap and put some pressure on you. And then they have a lay on command where you're on the ground or a couch and they put their full body weight on you. So it has similar benefits to like a weighted blanket, but with the added benefit of the connection you get from a dog. So the oxytocin release you get from having a bond and a connection with a dog. They will retrieve dropped items. They can retrieve medication. Mark right now is learning to open their fridge and get items out of the fridge to bring to you.
Oh, wow.
They can take off socks, push doors closed, push plates to open doors.
That is awesome. It's amazing. And where do you get your dogs from?
The majority of our dogs come from our breeding program at our headquarters. We also get dogs from the Assistance Dogs International Breeding Co-op. So we breed dogs and give some of our dogs to the co-op to go to other organizations. And other organizations, same thing, will host litters of dogs. And then we will get some dogs from them to add diversity to the whole Assistance Dogs International service dog group.
Okay. Because your organization is a national organization?
Yes. So we serve all 50 states, but our region, so our little hub here in Washington, serves Washington, Alaska, Wyoming, Montana, and Oregon. Then the other states that we have sites located are in Alaska. We've got 2 in California, 1 in San Antonio, and 1 in Virginia. And we're hoping to add a couple more as years go on.
So if you guys are getting the dogs, you guys are breeding the dogs and bringing them in, are there things that you're looking for in the dogs when they're young to be a part of the program, or do all the dogs automatically become a part of it?
I would say the very first step is health. That would be the first thing that would preclude them from coming in. But for the most part, we take in when we breed a litter of dogs, we will take that whole litter and train them. And then as they go through the training process, then we'll weed out the dogs that aren't going to make it based on a variety of factors. So they can get career changed for medical reasons. They can also get career changed for behavior reasons, whether that be home behavior, or work ethic, things like that.
You had mentioned that you guys want to expand in the future. How do you guys see yourselves doing that? And where would you like to see you guys end up in the future?
So for our site in particular, because I can't speak for anybody else's, each site is niche and it serves a specific community. The way we operate in the Pacific Northwest might not be exactly the same as the way they operate down in San Antonio. Different places and different cultures. But what we're hoping to do is we want to expand both in the amount of dogs we have in training, and to do so, we need to expand our square footage. So we're hoping to move to a bigger facility as time goes on and to employ other trainers, other managers to kind of add to our overall mission at our site.
Nice, nice. So at your current site, you have 5 to 6 dogs currently?
We have 5 currently, and we are getting our newest puppy next week.
And are you guys the entire staff?
Yes.
There are ways that you can take our dogs home. If you are interested in that, if anybody is, we actually run a volunteer program called Puppy Parents, where to give our trainers kind of a break, because otherwise they're working 24/7 with a dog, volunteers can foster our dogs in the evening, on holidays, and through the weekends.
And that is really neat.
Yeah.
So in that, I mean, you had mentioned going to the Ording home down there and some different places. What kind of events outside of that do you guys do with the dogs?
Yeah, so we take them on general field trips, which on a normal day can be making a deposit at the bank. They'll come with me, or with a trainer and the dog would come with me. or we'll go to Target or the mall, or we took one of them to Bass Pro Shops for their birthday to go look at the aquarium. But those are kind of our day-to-day outings. As for events, we host volunteer-based events. Like last year, we hosted a bowling day with REI, the co-op of one of the distribution centers. They came in and they hung out with the dogs and bowled around them, which is a graduation requirement for dogs to experience the bowling alley because there's a lot going on there. Other events you can find us at is like the Lakewood Summerfest. We usually build a table at the Veterans Village there. We host open houses. We're actually hosting one this February for our one-year anniversary of our site opening in Washington. Outside of that, you can also catch us doing just normal day-to-day things, going to the movies, hanging out. We try to get out of the office at least once a week to expose the dogs to other things.
Awesome. And so when the dogs are out there, they're free to interact with anyone that just wants to come up and say hi?
For interactions, one of the things we do is try to educate the public and let them know if you see a service dog, if you want to pet them, ask the handler, first of all. A big issue we have is people that come and try to touch the dogs without talking to the handler. And when that's us and it's our job and we get paid to deal with that, that's one thing. But if it's if the dog is a person's medical equipment they're utilizing every day, that gets old really quick. So educating the public on the appropriate ways to interact with a service dog. Ideally, if there's not a need to interact with a service dog, preferably, I would say don't. But when we're out training, part of their training is that they do need to be able to get petted by strangers and be appropriate about it. So for our purposes, when people want to interact with them, we often do let them interact as long as the dog is able to handle it. Sometimes we have young puppies or dogs that are struggling with behavior issues, and it's just not conducive to the dog's training to have them interact with the public.
Right, right. So then on that, I have to apologize to all three of you, because I think when you guys were out there and I came out and I greeted you, I greeted the dog first and I did not ask. So I am sorry. But
we
dogs
that
are
often.
My weakness.
It's hard not to.
Really.
I understand.
He kind of looked at me. He's like, hey, what's up, man? So it's like, hey.
To be fair, we probably have the easiest go of it because we get to interact with them all the time. Yeah. We never have to be that well-mannered around them because we live with them often. Yeah.
That's good. So is there anything that you guys would like to share with the listeners and viewers on how they can help you guys and what they can do to support this program?
Yeah. So this is our first year operating in Washington. So really, we're trying to get community outreach to educate the public on service dogs, on the issues that veterans face, such as PTSD, TBI, mobility issues. These are things that, say, for a few aren't necessarily visible to the naked eye with an individual. You can't just look at somebody and think that they have some sort of medical issue that they need help with. We really, really, really enjoy partnering with other organizations like the American Lake VA or AMVETS to hang out with them and to educate the public. But a great way to support us is to donate if you're in the place to do so. You can donate both monetarily or items. We have an Amazon wish list, which is my favorite way because somebody can pick out a toy for one of our dogs to have. And whenever we get those donations, I try very hard to share it on social media because I know that's meaningful to see where your gift actually went to. Other ways to get involved would be to volunteer. We're always looking for those puppy parents. It really, really, really helps us out. It gets the dogs out of the office and out of the a good usual environment and allows them to meet new people. It also allows a greater public to know that they're really, really serving the ultimate goal of supporting one of our nation's veterans.
Nice, I like that. So, and all the information on you guys and how to get involved and donate and all that, that's all on your website?
Yep, that's all on our website. It's on our social medias, which is Paws for Purple Hearts, Tacoma Seattle on Facebook, and then at washington.pph on Instagram.
Okay. And the website's obviously the national website. So if somebody wanted to specifically donate to you guys or a different location, are they able to do that through that website?
Yep. So they would just click the gold donate now button, and it's a brief questionnaire of your name, where you live, and then you can allocate your funds specifically to go to a site. So if you want your funds to go to Lakewood, you pick Lakewood. If you want them to go to Alaska, you pick Alaska. If you're not specific on where you want it to go, you just pick general and headquarters. It's split up accordingly.
that definitely makes it simple. So social media, you guys are active on Facebook and Instagram, and people can go there, check you out, and see a million pictures of dogs, obviously.
Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, I can't see that being something not everybody would want to do. I know that when we first talked and you told me what the social media links were, I went in there and I stalked your page. Just dog. Ooh, look at that dog. Look at that dog.
It's a rabbit hole. And it's fun to see when we get puppies to really go far back and watch them get bigger and bigger and bigger. And then they don't even look the same anymore.
Is there anything else? I mean, we can go on and talk about anything that you guys would like to talk about, to share your program, your organization, or any upcoming events.
Yeah.
If you'd like to.
Okay. Yeah. Absolutely. So at the end of February, we're hosting our 1 year celebration, which is an open house. It's February 27th from 11 to 2 p.m. It's kind of a drive-through revolving door scheme. You don't have to be there all day. You can pop in, say hi, and pop right back out. But usually how that goes is you'll come in, you'll meet me. I'll talk a little bit about what we do if you happen to not know us. From there, you'll get a facility tour, so you get to walk around and see the training room and some of the tools we have in the training room. You get to see the backyard where the dogs go and gallivant during their off time. And then you'll get to see dog demonstrations, which is where our senior program instructor or our program instructor will have a dog and they'll demonstrate some of the commands they're working on, some of the commands that they've mastered, and they can talk to you a little bit more in depth about what goes into the training there. While we have these open houses, it's obviously a meet and greet with the dogs. You can take pictures with the dogs as long as they're not working. And we're always welcoming donations or funds during this. Known in our financials, and you can read about them online, but it takes about $36,000 to train a service dog from start to finish. And that is both food, that's vet bills, that's enrichment, that's employee wages. So it's not a small feat. We also will be at the Mariner Salute to Their Armed Services game. We'll have a little portion of purple up in the rafters with our dogs where you'll be able to see us and you'll get to see our name on the big screen briefly. Yeah, we're really, really looking forward to getting our dogs out into the greater Seattle area and into something quite as large as a Mariners game, because really what we want is outreach.
Awesome. So on your upcoming event and the other things like that, if you guys have flyers or anything like that, digital flyer, if you get that to me, I'll put it on our website, on our social media, and do what we can to help you get the word out on that. Being local and real close to you guys in Lakewood, there's several people I know that may be interested in helping you guys out, and I'll definitely share that information with them as well.
Absolutely. Thank you.
Yeah, this is great. Is there anything that you guys would all like to share?
Yeah, I think something that's valuable to understand is why people enter this industry in the first place and this type of organization, because it's not an easy job. It's not like a you clock out at the end of the day and you're done type job necessarily. Me, for example, my husband's active duty, my younger brother's active duty, my older brother's active duty, and I've seen veterans from the age of 22 up into the age of 90, and knowing that we're working in an organization that can provide them a device that is a dog that can completely turn your life around is something that is absolutely fulfilling. Cassidy shared with me an anecdote not too long ago about how a veteran who got a dog placed with them said, "I can go grocery shopping again." And that's all I wanted to do, was to go grocery shopping with my family. These aren't just household pets. They're medical devices that can save people's lives. And I think that's something that when you see a service dog in public, you think, oh, what a cute dog. And they are cute and they're beautiful. They're also life-changing for the people who handle them. And by changing that person's life, you change the life of their family. And by changing the life of their family, you change the life of their friends. And by changing the life of the friends, you change the whole outlook of the community surrounding them.
I would just add, we are always looking for puppy parents. So if you're interested in volunteering, puppy parenting is a great way to do that. We have opportunities to just take our dogs for the weekend if you don't want to commit to the week schedule. We are also looking for full-time puppy parents to take our dogs into the home evenings and weekends. We have 3 golden retriever puppies right now that are looking for puppy parents. One is 7 months and one and about to be 2 are 5 months currently. They are looking for volunteer homes for sure. And then additionally, we have dogs at Career Change for our program that don't make the cut for whatever reason. And those dogs are available for adoption. Often their puppy parents adopt them. But if they don't, that application is on our website as well. So if you go to our website, you'll find the application for service dogs, facility dogs, as well as career change dogs.
Okay. And so in being a puppy parent, so they take the dogs home in the evenings, and so they have to have them back to your facility at a certain time every day. Is that part of the responsibility of it, or do you guys come and get them? Or
Drop-off is at our facility between 8:30 and 9:30 in the morning, 9 on Tuesdays and Thursdays because we have class. So drop-off is between that time, and then you'll pick them up, hopefully tired at the end of the day because they've been running around and playing and training and having a quite busy schedule all day, and then they get picked up between 5 and 6.
Awesome. And that's Monday through Friday or 7 days a week?
Monday through Friday. You would keep them weekends, and then holidays, you would keep them.
Awesome.
So our service dogs are one dog that gets placed with one veteran. And that's what we spent a good portion of this talking about, are the dogs that stay with that veteran, have public access rights, and do tasks to help mitigate that disability. Our facility dogs are dogs that get paired with a mental health provider, usually through either the VA or on base. So they can get paired with social workers, recreational therapists, any mental health provider that works with 50% or more veterans. Those dogs they don't have public access, but they have access to the places where they work, and they go to work with their handlers every day. Same thing, they go through our 2-week client training. Their follow-ups, I believe, are every other year, so not quite as frequently. And they go into those facilities and provide comfort to groups of people. So whether that be in a hospital setting, a nursing home, or on base. And then our career change dogs are dogs that didn't make it through our program, and the puppy parent has the first chance to adopt them if they want to adopt them, if they've been a full-time puppy parent for 6 months or more. After that, it opens up to different populations. We like to see our dogs go with veterans if they career change, if there's veterans that are interested, as well as potentially donors. And then if there's no interested parties in those groups, they open up to the general public, and the general public can apply. And they go through an application process. They would do a 2-week home visit, and then we would determine what home we think is best for the dog, and we would place the dog in that home as a family pet. So it can be a nice way to get a really well-trained dog that wasn't quite cut out for service, but can still make a very nice pet.
Merck actually right now has a dedicated puppy parent who met him through a CAWT or canine assisted border therapy class, and they have told us time and time again just what a difference Merck has made in their life. And that's just from meeting him one day at class and putting in the application to be a puppy parent. And now they're one of our most reliable and devoted volunteers. And I consider them a friend because we see them almost every day popping in, saying hi, letting us know how they're doing, and then bringing Mark back with whatever treat they got for him while he was gone.
Sending us photos of him sleeping with his stuffed animals.
Yeah. Sending us pictures of him cuddling with his blanket or the toys that they get them. And that's really what we really want, is community investment. And that's not necessarily always money. That is time or interest or just sharing what we do with people who might be able to actually use us as a resource, because that's ultimately what we are in the community, is a resource for people who might be struggling with some of those conditions that we had listed prior.
And I would say, along with that, since we've been here, have networked with quite a few other organizations as well. So we can provide the resources we have to offer, as well as a number of other organizations in the community that are around that have different missions, but same mission to help veterans.
Yeah. So that could be housing, that could be food insecurity, that could be job hunting, schooling, you name it.
Hobbies.
We probably know somebody.
Nice.
Yeah.
I like it. So I know that, you know, being in a nonprofit organization also, you spoke of, you know, community interaction and involvement. It is huge, and it's not just a financial thing. It is, sometimes just an extra set of hands, mm-hmm. and a little bit of help and some compassion and understanding from members of your community goes a long ways in helping in those days where you're just like, how am I even going to get through all this? So yeah, that is, you know, for anybody that is out there that's watching this, that wants to know, hey, how can I help? I don't know how to train dogs. I don't know how to do this. You know, just come down and meet with these wonderful people and their animals, and you'll find a way. You'll find a way, and they'll find a place for you. Mm-hmm. And it's invaluable. Helping hands are invaluable. So
we love volunteers. If you're interested in volunteering with us, the best way to do so is to drop an inquiry through our site. Okay. We try to steer people away from just swinging by the facility, because the chances of us being out and about is pretty high, and I would hate for somebody to show up and nobody be there to talk to them or interact with them. But it's pretty easy to look up our contact information on the site. You can call us or email us. We're always willing to talk to people about ways they can get involved. And usually we have more opportunities in the summer, because that's when we're most out and about and can use help setting up an event or breaking down, or even somebody just sweeping the office, because 5 dogs create a lot of hair.
I bet they do. You said that February is your 1-year anniversary. And so that's when this all started here in Lakewood. Were you guys involved in other programs elsewhere, or you've just been doing this a year and it's taken over your lives?
It's been a year here in Washington. Our other sites have been around for a number of years. I think our oldest one's in Virginia, and it's been there since 2011, a little bit past that, early 2010s. But for us in the Northwest region, we are the newest site. So we've got quite a ways to go in terms of our networking, but we're hoping through events like this and through our open house to kind of create those new connections.
I was with a different organization in a different state, and then I moved here for this program. And then Yayoi came to us after she graduated from Bergen University, which we share a CEO and a headquarters with, and that is where our trainers come from. Do you want to talk about your time at Bergen?
Yeah, sure. So I got here from the Associate Course, an Associate Degree Program from Bergen University, which is focusing on learning how to train service dogs specifically. So throughout the year, like, we learn, like, how to train dog with, like, dogs, of course. So we spend 24/7 basically through a semester with one dog, build a bond, and learn how to train service dog. But along with that, we learn other stuff like scent detection, agility. Those are enrichment for dogs. But also we learn about how to run, like, non-profit organizations, like marketing, also like laws, like reading about the, like, ADA or service dogs, something like that. So we basically learn about everything related to the service dogs, and we get the skills, get ready to become a service dog trainer. So that's what I did before I get this job.
That is awesome. I didn't even know there were programs out there. That did stuff like that. I figured that dog trainers were just people that liked dogs, and they heard how to train them. I was ignorant to that. So that is really kind of cool.
There's a lot that goes into it. Cassidy has her master's degree in dog training, so she has a wealth of knowledge in terms of training dogs and dog behavior and dog psychology and their effects on people too. Mm-hmm.
I started with Animal Behavior College while I was in the Marine Corps, got out, got my degree in Social and Human Services, and then I went actually from Evergreen to Tacoma, matter of fact, right down the road. And then I went to Bergen University of Canine Studies as well to get my master's in Canine and Human Life Sciences.
And she's actually one of my teachers when I was a student.
Psychology.
Yeah.
If you're interested in getting involved with us, drop us a line. Follow us on Instagram and Facebook if you want your timeline and feed to be barraged with a bunch of cute dogs doing a bunch of interesting stuff.
Can you throw those URLs out there one more time?
Yeah. So on Facebook, it's Paws for Purple Heart, Seattle, Tacoma. On Instagram, it's washington.pph. And if you're interested in chatting with us too, you're more than welcome to drop us a line through those accounts. That's how you got in contact with me, with this, through our Facebook page. That's a great way to get directly in contact with us if you have any questions or inquiries or any interest.
The only other thing I would add is we absolutely do love to get donations. Sonia brought up a really good point. The Amazon wish list is definitely the best way to find donation items we're needing. Mm-hmm. Sometimes we get donations that are things that are not things we use. I would say dog food is the biggest one.
Yeah.
Dogs, one very specific kind of food. They create a pro plan, chicken and rice. And if we get donations of different kinds of food, of the it's just not a food we feed our dogs, so we end up having to donate those somewhere else.
Yeah.
Okay, that's good information. So yeah, if you guys want to support them, check them out. Go to their website. It sounds like the best way to get a hold of the local branches is through Facebook and Instagram.
Mm-hmm.
And check out what they're doing. If it's something that pulls you, get a hold of them. Get involved in some of their events. And if nothing else, throw them a donation. Help out. This is a great cause. I know that I personally know people that have service dogs, and they're very important to them, and they help them get through every aspect of their lives, much like you said, just going to the store. So it is very important, and it's something that that obviously $36,000 a dog needs funding. So if you guys want to get involved, if you guys just want to donate, get a hold of them and help out. They would love your support. We're going to sign off for now. Again, my name is Ray. This is Stronger Together. It is a product of Project Roll Call. You can find us at projectrollcall.org. You can find us also on Facebook and Instagram. And if you're an organization that would like to get involved in anything that we do, please reach out. We'd love to network with you. We'd love to involve you in the program, put you on our website, do whatever we can to help promote you and your organization. But most importantly, we're here for everyone, our veterans, our active duty, our Gold Star families, and our community members. So when you're out there and you're watching these, if you're looking for something, we can help you find something. If not, just support us by liking and following. And remember, until next time, you guys all matter. We'll see you again soon. Out.